Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. So how was that weekend? Hope you're having a good day. Great to be here. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, let's get it. Big show for you, and we are front-loaded. Two really good interviews in hour number one. Now, that does not mean you should not call. You should. Hit me up right now. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Use the phone number. You are running out of time. Smack Off number 26 is in 32 days. That is June 19th. Remember, 32 days is not 32 shows. There is a big difference. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. If you need a primer and you want to know why I'm starting with that and you're not sure what I'm talking about, I will give you a quick recap a little bit later on. In terms of the interviews, they set up like this. Coming up next segment, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse. That's 15 minutes out. I'm excited about that. I'm going to chase that by having a conversation with the head football coach at Utah, Kyle Whittingham. Second hour is open. Third hour, we have a conversation with Detroit Pistons guard Langston Galloway. I've got an ATP on the Monday, of course. So, we have got a very busy show. You know, I was playing with a notion also early this morning. You know how I keep hammering away about you have to find a way in to be a part of the Smack Off, and just being in the field does not guarantee you'll get on the air. And having a golden ticket today does not mean that you have a golden ticket the day of. And I've referenced that if you do something foolish, you can lose it. I'm starting to play with this notion, too. If you do nothing at all, you can lose it. All right? Doing nothing can get you hurt. Doing nothing can get it ripped. You think I'm playing? Keep that in mind. You have a golden ticket, but you have to earn it continuously. Just having it does not mean you can hide it and you will always have it. You have to re-earn it. You have to earn it continuously. I've been playing with that notion. 1-800-636-8686. In other words, you've been warned. All right, starting off. And again, I've got Nick Nurse coming up next segment. So episodes 9 and 10 of The Last Dance aired last night. And there were plenty of moments. There were the battles with the Indiana Pacers. And pizza. It's easy to forget now, but the Pacers were a damn good team, weren't they? They had some really nice teams. Telephone number 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Pacers had some really nice teams. Reggie Miller, Chris Mullin, Mark Jackson, Dale Davis, Antonio Davis, Rick Smits, Jalen Rose. The list goes on and on. And they were tough. They were tough as hell. And their head coach was Larry Bird. Speaking of Bird, if you thought that Jay Wright was cold-blooded when his guys hit that game winner, you have not seen the incredible shot of Larry Bird, stone cold and expressionless after Reggie Miller knocked in that clutch three, knowing that Michael Jordan was still on the floor and that there was still time on the clock. And then you go to the incredible exchange, that incredible moment between Jordan and Bird after game seven.
Enjoy yourself, dog. You Y'all gave the room 5 million.
Yeah. I'll see you.
All right, take care. Thank you. Work on that golf game of yours.
Those are the best moments of the series. When guys are interacting like that, and Jordan is not telling you what to think or how to think. And you also got to learn something new about Jordan and what he thought about the Pacers.
If I had to pick a team that gave us the toughest time in the East, you know, Indiana was probably the toughest outside of Detroit. They were tough. Every time I go in that game and come out, I got a new scratch. It became personal with me.
What? It became personal with you? It became personal with you, Mike. And it became personal with an opponent. Wait, what?
It became personal with me.
This series should not have been called The Last Dance. It should have simply been called It Became Personal With Me.
I ate the pizza.
Because that's the thrust of every single episode and pretty much every single interaction. We get it, Mike. It's personal with you and the Pacers. like it was personal with you and the Knicks. It was personal with Karl Malone for winning the MVP. It was personal with LeBradford Smith. And LeBradford Smith didn't even do anything. How personal was everything with Jordan? So personal that it was personal with Brian Russell. He got added to the list. And he was added to the list when Jordan was playing baseball. That's how personal. Jordan isn't even playing the same sport, and he's still putting guys on the list and making it personal. And we get it, Mike. It was personal. Episode 9 also included a discussion of the flu game, which apparently should have been called the food poisoning game. The fact that it was not the flu is nothing new. We've heard that. We've known that. But we did get some more info on how that went down, which created a lot of conversation last night. A lot of conversation. For instance, just know that the Twitter conspiracy theory crew was not buying it. Not buying what they heard. Not even the new information. Not at all. But here's some of the info. According to the story, as you know, Jordan and his guys were in Utah for Game 5 in 1997. They were hanging out in a hotel room. About 10 o'clock at night, Jordan says he's hungry. Room service is closed. They start calling around. They're looking for a place that will deliver, and they're having a lot of trouble. They finally find a pizza joint. They order. Five guys show up to deliver the pizza, which is weird, right? Like really, really weird. Five guys delivering a single pizza. The implication is they knew that the pizza was for Michael Jordan. And what's inferred from the implication is that the pizza place knew that it was going to Michael Jordan. So they poisoned the pizza. What?
What?
First off, he what?
His what?
His poison pizza?
His what?
He calls you his poison pizza?
His
now,
what?
First off, how did they know it was for Mike? Did somebody say, hey, hi, I'm ordering a pizza for Michael Jordan? You know, number 23 for the Bulls. In Utah? Look, I know he's hungry. Maybe nothing was open. I remember way back in the day, I went to Salt Lake City for a tour stop. And I admit, it was kind of a funky town in the sense that everything did close. And there were certain things that you needed memberships for in order to eat or drink. So I get that. Like, maybe places weren't open. Maybe there was no room service. You know, maybe they had to flex a little to make sure he could get some food. But would that really be a wise thing to do in Utah before a critical finals game? And do pizza places just have poison lying around on the off chance that a rival basketball player makes an order? I mean, is that how they geared up for the Bulls? Like, hey, be ready in case this guy calls us. Let's have some rat poison lying around. Oh, Alvy. Then there's this detail.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza. I wake up about 2:30, throwing up left and right.
Did he say, he said, I ate the pizza by myself.
I ate the pizza all by myself. Nobody else
eats. Does that mean that he ate the entire pizza by himself? I mean, if so, Mike, who are you, Papa John?
40 pizzas in 30 days.
So here's what theory or conspiracy theorists are conjecturing about. Here's what they want to know. It's got to be the first time in human history that a group of guys have ordered a late night pizza and only one guy ate the pizza, right? Kind of weird. Everybody else turned down that pizza. When has that ever happened? It's like everybody else ran away from the pizza. Like, I don't care if you just had a five-course meal. If there's pizza around it, you always have room for a slice or two. Doesn't everybody, no matter what, always hammer a slice? Then there's this detail from Jordan's past that never showed up in the doc. He had a history, reportedly, of doing some pretty nasty things with food. Director Jason Eyre said that Jordan spat on the pizza that night to make sure that nobody else would eat it. And according to Wright Thompson, quote, back when they used to shoot a lot of commercials, Jordan's security team would wait for him in his trailer while he was on set. A woman named Linda cooked Michael's meals, and he loved cinnamon rolls. She'd bake a tray and bring it to him. When it came time to film, he'd see the guards eyeing the cinnamon rolls, and he'd walk over and spit on each one to make sure nobody took his food. End quote. I mean, that's horrific, man. That's weird. But unfortunately, kind of on brand, right? He doesn't want anyone else to win anything, and apparently he doesn't want anyone else to eat anything. So he reportedly is the only one who eats the pizza, maybe the entire pizza, and then he becomes violently ill. I want to be very clear about one thing. I'm not saying that he was faking it in the flu game, or the food poisoning game, or the I ate the whole pie myself game. And again, I know the Twitter conspiracy gang is having a real hard time believing the pizza story. They think it's a cover for something else. They think it's a cover for him having too much to drink. Let me also say this. My guy Tim Grover, Jordan's personal trainer, was there that night. He insists that he was the guy who found the pizza joint. He was the one who ordered the pizza. He was the one who paid for it at the door. And that he immediately had a bad feeling when five dudes delivered it. He swears, Grover swears that's exactly how that all went down. Try telling Grover that it was not the pizza. Bottom line, I don't really care why he was wrecked. He was wrecked. Clearly wrecked in that game. He's sweating profusely. Scottie Pippen is practically carrying the guy to the bench during the timeouts. And the fact that he was on the court at all was amazing, let alone playing 44 minutes and scoring 38. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's legendary. So I don't really care if it's the flu, food poisoning, or a hangover, as conspiracy theorists would have you believe. No matter what put him in that condition, to play like that under those conditions is incredible. And if it was the pizza, it's pretty safe to say that after the game, pizza was added to Mike's list. When it comes to pizza, it became personal with Jordan, like everything else. And then he's been punishing it ever since. Like, he never forgets. Mike never forgets. Mike can carry a grudge. I guarantee it. He added pizza to the list. Like, yo, pizza, you may have gotten over on me, but now it's personal. Now you're on my list. Pizza, you ho. You ho. I will hunt you down and destroy you every chance I get, pizza, for the rest of my career. Hell, for the rest of my life. You pepperoni ho. He's been giving... Get the wrong ho. I'm talking about when he was calling teammates hoes. He's been giving pizza the Scotty Burrell treatment ever since. Just wearing pizza out. Wearing out that pizza joint every time he sees it. Clearly, Mike got the last word with pizza. And continues to do so. And tequila. Or whatever's in that glass.
It became personal with me.
I don't know, like, I really don't care what it was. I really don't care what it was. But if you want to weigh in, go ahead. Was it pizza? Was it scotch? Was it pizza? Or was it something else? We know it wasn't the flu. Nobody disputes that. It's either food poisoning or scotch poisoning or who knows. Personally, again, I really don't care. The fact was the guy was wrecked and he was out there and played lights out. But if you want to weigh in, go right ahead. What do you think it was? Again, I don't care. Look at how the man played. 1-800-636-8686. So that was Ep 9. I have thoughts on Ep 10. I have final thoughts on the entire doc itself and what it says about Mike, what it says about us. I can do an entire program on the doc alone, but I won't. 1-800-636-8686. I mean what I said about that golden ticket. Hoarding it. Holding it. Hiding with it will get it snatched. In addition to that, we had some more sports this weekend. Sort of, kind of. We had some golf. Remember, Paul Azinger came on Friday and talked about the Skins game that we were going to see this weekend. And you know what? It was nice. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was good. Professional golf was back yesterday. Sort of, kind of, but it was still a good time. UFC was back. Third time in 7 days. Another show in Jacksonville over the weekend, which I thought was also very good, that I want to get into. I've got a player profile coming up today. The Smack Off is now 32 days out. Today's player profile, Mark in Hollywood. Make a note. When we come back, Nick Nurse joins me. Kyle Whittingham right after that. Phone lines are open. So when your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Do not take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or, when you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is only a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
The score in that dog was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Still live in our Southern California-based studio. As promised, we're joined right now by the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. Second season as Raptors head coach. Led them to their first NBA championship in team history. The head coach of the Canadian national team. The founder of the Nick Nurse Foundation. Toronto is 46-18 this season. They are in first place in the Atlantic Division. My guest is Nick Nurse. Nick, it is so good to have you back. First off, Nick, how are you and your family doing in the middle of all of this?
Well, we're doing pretty good, Jim. We're okay, man. We're a lot of family time. Silver lining of this whole thing is we've had a great time together for a couple months.
I know, right? Yeah. It's good to hear it. Nick Nurse, my guest. So, Nick, it's been 2 months and a week since the league stopped. That is a long time to go without basketball. For somebody who loves the game as much as you do, what have the last 2 months plus been like for you?
Well, like everybody else, like a lot of people anyway, Jim, I think there's a lot of stuff we all want to do and we weren't able to do it. So you got to kind of redirect some energies I said it was a chance to, there's always projects and things you always wanted to do and things like that. And this gave you an opportunity to get to work on some of those. The NBA moves pretty fast, and for it to come to such a screeching halt, it took a little bit of adjusting to, for sure.
And Nick, let me ask you, so what were some of those personal projects you dove into? What have you always wanted to do that you never had time to that maybe you picked up?
Well, one thing that I always wanted to do was learn Portuguese, right? I'm not saying I picked it up, but that was a new project that's kind of been on the back burner for a while. So I've started in on that, and long way to go on that. Also working hard on the guitar and on the piano. I think those are two things that I've started fairly recently, but this gives you a chance to work at them every single day for some extended time.
My man, you're getting a lot more done than I am in quarantine. Nick Nurse is joining us.
You're busy.
You too. So a few weeks back, Sportsnet and TSN started airing last year's run of the title. You and I talked about what it was like when you were right in the middle of it. You felt like you were in a bubble. I'm curious, what's it like to revisit it roughly 1 year later?
It's been different, Jim. It's been a lot different. I think that, again, like we talked about it in the middle of it, you know, on purpose a little bit, you gotta kind of enclose yourself, I think, just to not get distracted or get affected by highs and lows, and you just got to try to focus on it. So I don't know. I never really got back to watching any of the stuff that was happening, especially in Canada. So I was rewatching some of these. I was kind of guest on a few of the shows, doing some live things while they were showing some. So I was getting to see all the Jurassic Park scattered throughout the country that I had never seen before. And just all the takes and how, and then when you're watching the games, you don't, you know, necessarily remember all those little, you know, long rebound that Fred VanVleet ran down that was critical with, you know, 3 minutes to go or just all these little impact moments of the game as they go and how hard it was, man. Both teams, man, especially the last two games I thought were super, super high level games. And it was fun to kind of relive them sitting on my couch this time.
Raptors head coach Nick Nurse is joining us. You know, Nick, I think most of the world's been watching The Last Dance, and there's been a lot of time focused on Phil Jackson. I want to go back, because shortly after you were named head coach of the Raptors, you did reach out to Phil, and you spent some time with him in Montana. What do you remember about that visit?
Well, it was great, first of all. He was super gracious with me. It was kind of funny, Jim. I didn't really know. He agreed to see me, and we didn't have like an itinerary firmed up or anything. I didn't know if I was going out for a 1 hour cup of coffee or a several hour seminar or what I was going for. So I actually booked like 3 days, because I figured if it was going to just be a cup of coffee, I'd just kind of regroup out there in beautiful Montana. So, but it ended up being, kind of breakfast, lunch, and dinner all day long for 3 days. And lots of memories, you know, most of it for me, just like, I don't know, scratching my head, pinching myself, saying I'm driving around here in a truck with this guy who won all these titles. You know, I was kind of growing up through that era. I was a young coach in my 20s following them. And so it was pretty surreal, parts of it. Yeah.
Nick Nurse joining us. And to that point, Nick, I mean, this was not some kind of random thing. Like, back in the day, you were a young coach growing up with it, but you subscribed to a service that would send you VHS tapes of Bulls games. You would watch them endlessly. So let me ask you, as a student of the game, what was it about the triangle that made it special when they were running it? Was it just about the players and the offense didn't matter, or did the offense do certain things with ball movement and options that made it special?
Well, I think you get arguments on both sides of that, Jim. But for me, and I ran it with my teams in Europe for about 9 or 10 years, and I love the part where, like, everybody got to touch the ball. Everybody was involved with the reads, and that's kind of what drew me to it. I was watching it as a young coach and watching the NBA, I didn't like watching just, you know, feed it into the post time after time after time or whatever, put three guys on one side and let somebody go ISO or whatever. I just didn't like watching it, and that's why I kind of, you know, drifted or gravitated towards the triangle. I like aesthetically watching it better. And then I think you get into coaching it and studying it and working with your players on it. It makes them better players. It makes them more involved. It's more fun for them, I think. And there was this little aura about it that it was so complex and there was so many options and all this kind of stuff, which was kind of cool to be a part of too, really, as a team. All your guys are working hard to figure it out and do nice little timing things and back cuts and, you know, really cool looking plays that got easy shots. So there was a lot to it that I enjoyed coaching.
Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse is joining us once again. So, Nick, over the years and during last year's title run, there have been comparisons made between Kawhi Leonard and Michael Jordan. In fact, Jordan himself has called Kawhi the best two-way player in the game a few years back. What's your reaction when you hear the comparisons? Is there something to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, Kawhi is certainly a guy that does it on both ends. And I think that people understand and see that. I mean, he's like, you know, look at a bunch of metrics right now. I think he's the number one rated defensive player in the Western Conference. And that's saying something, you know, for a guy that also scores, you know, in the high 20s or mid to high 20s every night, and it's possible dropping 40 on occasion, you know. So I think that's probably where it starts. And I think that's one thing that I love about, you know, like Jordan and Pippen and Rodman, Harper, those guys. They play D. That's the thing. Every time when you're watching The Last Dance, you see a final score, you know, it's like something to 76 or something to 80 or 82. I was just like, man, those guys guarded. They were really good defensively, and I think Jordan led a lot of that.
They were, too, or something to 54. Nick Nurse joining us.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you mentioned Rodman. You coached Dennis for 3 games with the Brighton Bears back in the day. What were those 3 days like? What was that experience like, those 3 games?
Yeah, it was cool, Jim. I mean, he was on a celebrity Big Brother show in England that was kind of back in its infant. I mean, it was really popular. Like, the whole country was watching the celebrity Big Brother. And so when he came out in England, it was a big deal. And sponsor of our team at the time said, let's try to sign him. And we did. And it was something. I mean, how can I explain it? I mean, there was 185 media credentials issued when we normally have probably 2 or 3, you know? for a game. The place was hard to just get him from the limo in the parking lot into the building to play. There were so many people surrounding the thing, and it was great. I mean, we were running the triangle. He literally came in first. He didn't want to start. He said, "Start your regular guys." He checks in and he flashes in there and boom, backdoor pass for a layup. And then he takes a charge on the next possession down the floor and the place is going nuts. So it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. And he was cool. He's a hell of a player and interesting guy.
He is too. Yeah. Nick Nurse, my guest. So, Nick, let me ask you, The Last Dance also seemed to illustrate that guys grow and they change over the course of a run, and that winning can impact players, even coaches, in different ways because they've all reached the mountaintop. Has winning changed you or your guys at all? And if so, how?
Well, I think positively, Jim, I hope a lot. I mean, I've said this before. I think that guys like Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Norman Powell, the term I've been using is they came back to campus in the fall like totally different guys. Like they're just in a good way. They just had a different feel of how they played the game. They just had a command of the game that was different. And I think that going through that propelled them into that scenario. And I will say this on the other side, I thought it was going to be really hard to kind of, you know, to have an effect or to get over it and start playing again. Our group hasn't really had that problem, and I haven't had to. We haven't had to talk about it. We really have been able to kind of put it behind us and take what's right in front of us and play. And I thought it was going to be a lot more difficult to do that. I think we've kind of put it in a compartment and left it over there. Now we got some other business we want to take care of, and we don't really think about it or talk about it all that much.
So one quick follow, Nick, and I'll let you go. What about how you came back to campus? Like, you've always looked to improve. It's been less than a year since you won that title. Do you feel like you're a better coach now than you were even in June?
I hope so, Jim. I think, again, I got to go through some, you know, as deep as you can go. And there was some mistakes made that we learned from. There was some good things done that we can take and put them in our toolbox. But I think also we've got a different maybe feel. We've used a lot more combination defenses and changing schemes and things like that this year, you know, that we didn't try until last year. But there seemed, again, to be a little bit more of a belief in some of the things we can do defensively especially. And that's been a joy to be able to bust some more of that stuff out on a regular basis.
He's the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. He is a world champion. He is the founder of the Nick Nurse Foundation. Toronto 46-18 this year. Nick Nurse, my guest. Nick, I appreciate you. I appreciate the relationship, and I appreciate you coming back on. Thanks so much for doing that. Hope we can do it again soon.
No problem, Jim. Always love it, man. Love you, man. Thank you.
You too. I love you too, Nick. Sincerely. Nick Nurse, Raptors head coach. Hope we can do that again soon. Always love that conversation. All right. When we return, Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham is next. You should be getting in line right now. You should pick up the phone. You should dial the following digits. 1-800-636-8686. You can talk about anything I've hit on so far. If you want to go in a different direction, you know to do that. And if you're holding a golden ticket, you best not be hoarding that golden ticket. You best not be hiding that golden ticket. Use it or lose it. Here is your bottom of hour number one sports update. Here is Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Moving through hour number one. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, telephone call is still ahead, but as promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at the University of Utah. He is entering his 16th season as head coach, the recipient of 3 National Coach of the Year awards, Pac-12 Coach of the Year, led Utah to back-to-back divisional titles, 11 bowl wins, which is tied for 2nd among active coaches. We are joined by Kyle Whittingham. Kyle, it's great to have you back. Let me first off ask you, how are you and everybody around you doing during this pandemic?
all doing good. You know, we're working through it just like everybody else, and anxiously looking forward to when we can get our guys back in town and get back after it.
You bet. Kyle Whittingham, my guest. You know, I had Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse on the show right before you. An NBA coach obviously has a much smaller roster to maintain a connection with, and they're dealing with grown men. You're dealing with young men in their teens and early 20s and a much bigger roster. So how have you gone about making sure that you and your staff are connected to them?
Yeah, we've maximized the NCAA's allowable meeting time each week. We get an allotment of hours to reach out to these guys, and so we've been utilizing that on with Zoom meetings, and we have a series of team meetings, unit meetings, offense, defense, special teams, and we have position meetings in addition to that. So I think we've been doing a good job keeping tabs on these guys and staying connected. And, we're just trying to make the best of a tough situation.
Kyle Whittingham, my guest. Now, you did have 3 days of practice, spring practice at the beginning of March, but then you had to shut it down after spring break. I'm curious, how were those 3 days, and how much time have you spent breaking down film on that?
Well, it was 3 good days and then very productive. I've watched each practice about 200 times now, just trying to, evaluate and we've got a situation this year where we're replacing 9 starters on defense, so we got a big task ahead of us there, and then replacing our starting quarterback. So we really could have used the spring ball in its entirety, but it wasn't the case. So now we've got to get ready for just a quick evaluation process once we get them back in fall camp and try to make some quick decisions.
Now, you did lose some key guys, but you are coming off a draft where you had 7 players drafted, then another group of players signing as free agents. How much pride is there for you in seeing that happen and seeing guys take the next step in their careers?
Oh, it's a great deal of pride, and that's one of the primary reasons that these young men come to college. The first and foremost is obviously to get their degree, and then secondly is to try to take their game to the next level. And we have when we have 12 of 16 seniors that have an opportunity to do that. That's just a great situation for us, and helps in recruiting as well. I mean, it's a great selling point for recruits.
Of course, I was going there next from a recruiting standpoint. How valuable is that? For instance, how important is it to be able to point to the on-the-field success and say, this is a place where you're going to win, you're going to go to class, and you're going to have a very good chance to play in the NFL?
It's a huge value, and the recruits take note of that, and that's something that we certainly make sure they're aware of our draft history, and we've had a great run the last 4, 5, 6 years, and like you said, we've won some football games here, but more than anything else, what we're most proud of is our graduation rates and our what we call APR, the academic progress rate, and so we think we got a lot to offer here at the University of Utah for these young men.
Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham joins us. So you're currently preparing for a season where there are a lot of unknowns at the moment in terms of when games might be played, whether or not there'll be fans, and more. In your mind, what are the biggest questions at this point as it relates to football in the fall?
Wow, there's so many. I mean, it's such a fluid situation, and it seems to be changing daily. The one thing I believe is for certain is that it's not going to be status quo. I don't believe we're going to start on time as outlined on the schedule and play the schedule as outlined and have fans in the stands completely. I think there's going to be some definite modifications, and who knows what those are. Anybody's guess. But we just got to get a season in somehow, some way. And you may see a conference only schedule. If we limit the season to 9 or 10 games and get a little later start and just play conference games, that's certainly a viable option. And then the fans in the stands are another concern, and we'll see what happens there. And it's just so there's so many different ways this thing could break that it's really tough to predict. But the one thing I can say confidently, in my opinion, is that it's going to be different in some way, shape, or form.
We're talking to Kyle Whittingham for a few more moments. Kyle, you mentioned the conference. The Pac-12 is a conference which is spread out over a number of states that have been impacted by COVID-19 in different ways. As a result, the states might have different approaches to when school or football can resume. How much of a wrinkle does that throw into everything?
That does throw a wrench into it, and there's two things that you're looking at there. Number one is one of these states and universities going to open up to bring back your guys just to start training in the weight room, the strength and conditioning aspect of it. And then the second part is when are you going to be able to start with your your fall camp. And so I think you may see some different start times for the strength conditioning based on what state you live in. But I think there's going to be a uniform start as far as, when you can start your actual fall camp. And, that remains to be seen when that is. But certainly, we're in a state here in Utah that is probably going to open sooner than most. But we'll just see how things shake out.
Yeah, something that's been kind of curious. The Athletic has been doing a series of articles where they talk to coaches about the coaches who coach them. You and I have touched on this in the past, but for those who do not know, your position coach in college was your father, Fred. That's not the kind of thing that happens very often. What do you remember about those days?
First of all, it was a great opportunity. I mean, that's something that I cherish. My father has since passed, and so just the opportunity to play for him, and first of all, he's one of the best coaches that I've ever been around. Probably the best defensive mind I've ever been around, and everything that I am as far as my defensive philosophies and what we teach here is really a direct result of what I learned from him. But he was always harder on me than everybody else, which was just fine. I had no problem with that, but it was a great experience. Then we got to coach together after that. Not only did he coach me in college, but then we coached together on the staff here at Utah. We were 3 years here where he was the defensive coordinator and I was his position coach. And then he went to the NFL to coach for a second stint in the NFL. And then he came back here and I was the coordinator and he was under me as a position coach. So it was we spent a lot of time together in this profession.
Hey, Kyle, what was that like working with your dad, working under him, and then having him work under you? What were those times like?
Well, it was interesting, but I'll tell you, it was invaluable to my progress as a coach and my development as a coach, and so it was something that I really enjoyed. And it was a little bit awkward, when he came back and I was the coordinator and he was the position coach, because he had, he's such a experienced coach and had so much knowledge. But he handled it well. I think I probably, had he not handled it the way he did, it probably would have been a tough situation. But he handled it very well.
So leave us with this thought: the phrase that people around you in the program talk about when it relates to your father is "do your job." Like Bill Belichick and the Patriots repeat that a lot, all the time. And it sounds so simple, but how do you get everybody to buy in and do their job and only their job?
Yeah, that's part of the culture. I mean, I think we've got a pretty good culture here at University of Utah, and it's a blue-collar mentality and a very demanding program. And we have, a lot of things in the program that we, tenets or mantras that we subscribe to, and do your job is right there at the top. And it's just a matter of getting your guys to buy into it and everybody being all in and pulling in the same direction. And it really starts, when you come in as a freshman, you just, the upperclassmen do a great job of indoctrinating these younger players as to how we do things. And we have something that we subscribe to here as well, as you will become us. We won't become you. You'll become us, as these freshmen that come in. And has been a pretty good run for us in that regard.
Isn't that the definition of culture? He is the head football coach at the University of Utah, entering his 16th season there, and the recipient of 3 National Coach of the Year Awards, Kyle Whittingham, my guest. Kyle, thanks so much for that and all the conversations. I do appreciate it. I hope we can do it again soon and see some football.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Always good to have you, Kyle. Thank you. Kyle Whittingham, head coach at Utah. And that's a good first hour, and not done yet. You can call right now. I've got some time on the back end, 1-800-636-8686. So I mentioned 2 interviews in hour number 1, and we had Nick Nurse. We had Kyle Whittingham. Second hour is open. Langston Galloway of the Pistons will be joining me in hour number 3. Some early reaction. This says, "Dear Rome, are you profiling Mark in Hollywood today because he delivers pizzas?" Signed, Casey in New Hampshire. No. Yes, I'm profiling him. No, it is not because he delivers pizzas. Bellingham Fitz tweets, "Jordan spitting on his food so nobody else will eat it." That guy never grew up. He needs psychological help. He's an emotional toddler basketball savant. That's the report. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a speculation. And if in fact that's true, that's pretty horrible. Spitting on your food so nobody else will eat it? If true? If true, that's not cool.
Eat it.
I don't know. Share your food. 1-800-636-8686. All right, as I mentioned, if you have that golden ticket, you better use it. Let's go to the phones at the end of hour number one. We had a lot of good progress last week. Your callers were good. If I'm going to spend as much time telling you when you suck, I need to pat you on your back when you earn that. And you did. Thursday was a great call day. Friday was a great call day. I'll pick up on that topic a little bit later on. Let's end hour number one with a phone call or two. Let's go to Michigan. Dan, you're in, Dan. What's up? How are you?
Romy, hope the family is safe and well, man.
Mine is.
Wow,
how about
last
yours?
Last week was something, man. It was special. You know, the Canadians got on the board. Boardman got paid, man. Boardman got paid. But wowzers, was Reggie in the OC good or was he great? I mean, man should stay behind the keyboard, drinking Mountain Dews, eating Funyuns, but he better watch out for that carpal tunnel. That'll be a season ender, man. And then why is everyone giving my man Kyle and Green Bay such a hard time? The guy just wanted to go out, take a little road trip, educate himself a little bit from outside of the shadows of Lambeau Field. I mean, what else they got up there, man? A Great Wolf Lodge, maybe. I mean, I don't need to say anything about Kale because Reggie did that for all of us in that painful call on Thursday. I mean, what was that he was talking about, his five-year-old daughter and not being able to put a straw to Capri Sun? Reggie, you're not fooling anyone. You struggle with the straw, but it's all good. Be good, Romy. Peace.
Peace. Dan in Michigan. I would assume somebody in Michigan would take a run at somebody from Wisconsin. But you know you're taking a run at me, too. I'm a landowner in the state of Wisconsin. There better be something there other than a water slide park. Water slide park, smack. You're the best, Dan. Call anytime you want. Call as much as you want. That goes back to last week. Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Listen later on. I might answer yours or I might answer Bella's. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I mentioned that hour number two was wide open. Not so much. Still open. But Langston Galloway is moving to 10:40 Pacific time, 1:40 Eastern time. So, wide open in the first half of that hour. Call now. Also, still ahead, my thoughts on episode 10 of The Last Dance. I've got some concluding thoughts about the entire episode. We had some live golf over the weekend. We had more UFC. I've got a player profile. All of that is still ahead. Don't go anywhere.